Hey guys, welcome to the Witch's Table. This is Grace here. I am with Willissa and Lisa again today. We're going to be talking a little bit about the upcoming holidays. Last week we talked about the over-commercialization of the winter holidays from Samhain through the mundane New Year. We've all just finished experiencing Thanksgiving. Maybe some of you had a wonderful time with the family. Maybe some of you left the table in the middle of yet another argument. Maybe some of you couldn't even afford to prepare that extravagant meal, and maybe some of you could care less and didn't do anything out of your ordinary schedule. I'll say that my takeaway from Thanksgiving is I went to the store to grab some last-minute things, and it was overcrowded. People were so angry and rude and in the way and, like, just being snippy with each other. Almost like trying to, you know, like shoulder check you and push you out of the way and stuff. I was pretty disappointed with it all. And that's my own fault. I should have known going to the store on Thanksgiving wasn't a good idea. But I had more hope for people and they kind of dashed it for me. What about you guys?
Well, let's see. It was one of those days where I discovered I didn't have my roasting pan bottom that I needed to make the turkey. So I too went to the grocery store, ran around to two of them, and thought, I don't give a shit what I have to do. I am not getting a roasting pan because I can't handle being in this mess. So I went home and I thought, okay, there's got to be something I can do. Figured out a backup scenario, and the turkey came out better than it's ever come out before. Granted, I didn't eat any of it because I hate turkey, but I figured out, you know, maybe we just need to become more flexible with how we do things. Mm-hmm. So if you're out of it, don't get it. Mm-hmm. Substitute something else. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, I went from this panic, pandemonium stage of, oh my God, my turkey, it's not going to blah, blah, to, no, why did I stress over that? Mm-hmm. So it was 2 hours that I stressed over everything.
Yeah.
Versus if I had just relaxed and sort of thought through it all, I would have had 2 hours of total peace and contentment.
Right.
So definitely something I'm going to consider going forward. Mm-hmm. Don't panic.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No
well, more. And if you're in a panic and stress mode, that's all in the turkey.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I thought. I thought, what am I putting in this turkey in terms of quality of food? Because here I am like, I mean, cursing the turkey out. Poor turkey.
The turkey didn't do anything.
Yeah, given its life and it's sitting there neckless and headless, and I'm like, I'm cursing the turkey. I'm like, oh my God, you need a Valium. And it dawned on me that, you know, that's what holidays do to us.
Yeah.
We're so busy putting on the show that we don't even enjoy it anymore. Yeah. And every person I ran into in the grocery store was doing the same thing. They were looking for, oh, we forgot this, and go get that, and go get that. And it was like bumper cars.
Yeah.
Yep. It was not going to happen again. Not going to happen again.
Well, I managed to avoid going to the store. I also managed to avoid having to do a Thanksgiving dinner at all.
Ooh.
I only have one family member that's in the same city that I live in. And that's my son, and he wanted to do something different for Thanksgiving. And all the rest of our extended family, mine and my husband's, live in different states. And I made sure that my mother was going to have Thanksgiving dinner and that my other sisters, where she lives, were going to take care of all of that and do all that. So that was great. That was really my only concern. And my husband and I went hunting. So Thanksgiving Day, we were up in the mountains in Craig hunting. And we managed to shoot a really nice buck, a good 4-point buck, and we brought him into the butcher that same week. We picked up his meat last Saturday, so I have 57 pounds of venison in my freezer now.
There you go.
So that's what we did on Thanksgiving. So I think that's also a great way to be thankful, because we experienced a bountiful harvest, a beautiful animal, clean, and, you know, no hormones, no fear and stress in the process of its being slaughtered. So, you know, you just shoot it, it falls over, you wait, you let it pass. I always walk over after I'm sure that it's passed and I do a blessing, you know, so I lay my hands on the animal and I do a blessing and I give thanks for that meat and for that abundance and for that life energy. Mm-hmm. And I make sure the spirit has moved on the way it needs to. you know, and then we prepare it and bring it home. So that was our Thanksgiving, and I felt really, really good about that.
That's awesome.
No stress, no family drama, no running around the store at the last minute. You know, so it was a beautiful thing.
Definitely. So today we're going to be talking to you all about setting boundaries during the holiday, specifically with Christmas and Yule coming up soon. And then Willissa's going to lead us in a meditation to help to clear our energy fields and set up some protective shielding. So let's start with personal energy use. What activities are you giving your energy to during the holidays?
Well, someone asked me yesterday at work, do you have your Christmas tree up? And I went, are you kidding me? No, and I don't have any Christmas lights up either. And I don't have a wreath on the door. And I went, I'm not having Christmas in July. Mm-hmm. And I said it jokingly, and I thought about it. And I thought, why don't I?
Uh-huh.
Because we're not even celebrating the true process of what we're celebrating.
Right.
And then I thought, I'm so freaking stressed every year at Christmas because everything's condensed into this small little ball of 24 hours of get your lights up, get your dinner, get your gifts done, da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do that this year.
Good you for know? You.
I'm going to put a tree up, but I'm probably going to do it like 2 days before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'll enjoy it, and then I'll take it down whenever I damn well feel like it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. stays up till Valentine's Day. Okay, I'll put red hearts on it.
Throw some red hearts on it and say it was intentional.
Yeah, I just think we need to stop stressing over all the things we need or should accomplish and do the things you want to do and can do that don't leave you feeling like a leftover lump of something that's worn out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
It is. It's
exhausting.
And
that's not a good energetic state to go right into the new year with also because this is right after that.
Well, and if you think about it, if you're buying presents, they're supposed to be on sale. No. There's even a bigger sale after the holidays.
So right.
Why would you go out and buy all these things for people when you know, one, there's probably not going to be everything they need, but two, it's going to be on sale after the holidays.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just such a paradox, a disconnect between intelligence and I don't know, expectation. It's kind of weird.
Well, why do you even shop during the holidays? Well, you know, if you have a list of the people that you want to give a present to or that you want to make a present for, God forbid, right? Why aren't you collecting those gifts throughout the whole year instead of condensing that into the space of 1 or 2 weeks and trying to run around like a crazy person and find all of these things? Some of which might not even be available. So you get the thing that isn't really what you wanted because it's not available during that time. Why aren't you spreading that out through the whole year?
Yeah.
Not to mention your budget. It's certainly easier to buy a gift once a month than to try to buy 6 or 7 gifts all in the same month.
Yeah.
Well, once again, I think it's reactive because you're out there going, oh, I need to get my esthetician a present. Oh, I need to get my, paper guy a present. I need it. And you know what? You don't even see these people most of the time. So it's that whole thing, that expectation of, I don't know. I don't know why it is we give gifts to people if they're really not in our lives consistently. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a programming. It's almost a process of being programmed.
It's a programming and an expectation.
Yeah. Everyone must be provided a gift to say that they count, they matter.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it would make more sense to give someone, something like, let's do lunch after Christmas or let's have coffee after Christmas.
Yeah. I feel like that's so much more meaningful than, like we were talking about, it almost feels forced to give a gift just because you feel like you have to out of obligation.
Yeah.
And then it's not really from the heart at that point. I don't feel like the gift is as meaningful as setting up that meeting to have connection and community.
Well, if you think about it, and I literally was thinking about this, and Melissa, you just said, make something for someone. It used to be that was one of the activities when you were younger that you would actually say, you know, and I kind of vaguely remember doing this 1 year. We were pretty little. I guess we were probably 7 or 8. My mom got us hankies and we embroidered my grandmother's initials on them. Right. And that was for her Christmas present. Uh-huh. I haven't done that in years.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, I haven't done that in years.
And what a special gift.
Yeah. And she loved him. She kept him in her purse, you know, which was a whole nother the special thing. Grandmother's purses are, that's a witch thing. a witch thing. And I mean, I think I made I attempted to make a blanket, and it's sitting half done, and it's been half done for 6 years because I haven't finished knitting it because I've never had time to sit down and knit it.
Right.
And so I have a lot of these, you know, half finished things. Mm-hmm. So what did I do that year? I didn't finish the blanket. I went out and bought a blanket. You know, I just didn't have time.
You know? And you know, those half-finished things, they suck up space in your mind.
Yes. And your house. You know?
Yeah, it's like this list of incompletions that always is like ninner, ninner, ninner in the back of your mind. And then there's this guilt over it. Well, I need to finish this blanket. And at some point in time, you need to take it out of the box, wherever it is you've got it stashed, and look at it and really have a conversation with yourself. Is this important to me to finish this? And if not, give it away.
Yeah.
No, throw it away. Give it to somebody else who wants to finish it, and just release that from that corner of your mind, you know, or carve out that time in your schedule and just do it.
Yeah.
You know, but otherwise it just sits in the back of our mind with everything else that's not done and everything else we want to feel guilty about. We should be doing this. We should have finished that. And it just like sucks away our life energy.
No, it does.
So why do we always feel so guilty? I mean, every holiday I feel guilty because I haven't gotten to do this. I haven't gotten to do that.
I think guilt is a society learned behavior. Yeah.
It's just sad though, because I mean, I'm even thinking Halloween. Every year I used to decorate for Halloween. Mm-hmm. So COVID came along and I was like, no, I don't want to decorate because I don't want the kids coming around thinking they should stop in for candy because I'm not getting them candy because they're all germ filled, blah, blah. You know, and then all of a sudden it was like 3 years later, I'm like, no, I don't think I'll celebrate.
Well, you released that from your life. And now looking back and thinking, oh, now I need to put that back in, you realize how much easier things was.
Mm-hmm.
Was, is that right? how much easier it was that you didn't have to do all of that effort. Yeah. And now it's like, wow, why am I doing this?
Yeah, I know, but some of it I kind of miss because Halloween's my favorite.
Well, do what you miss.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking is now I think it comes down to celebrate the holidays that you love and do it in a way that allow you to really enjoy the holiday and not feel like a victim.
You don't have to spend 10 days decorating.
No. Exactly. No. And I mean, I know people who start like, oh, well, we've got to get all the lights up. We've got to do this. And literally by the time Samhain is over, they're doing Christmas.
And the whole time from the beginning of October until the week after January is all about changing your decorations.
Yeah.
You got to do all this time for decorating for Halloween, and then you have Halloween, and then you take that down, and then you got to bring out the turkeys and the Indian feathers and the pilgrim hats, and you do the Thanksgiving thing, and then you take down the fall garland off of the door, and then you put on the Christmas garland on the door, and then you do all the Christmas stuff in the Christmas tree, and then you take all of that down, and then whatever you do for Thanksgiving, for New Year's, bring all of that stuff out, and oh my God, it's like it's all packing and pulling.
Then you get so tired that New Year's stuff stays up till Valentine's Day because you just can't bring yourself to touch it again.
Exactly.
It gets
it's
so
madness.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Life exhausts
me. I'm exhausted just thinking
about it.
I'm serious. I'm exhausted. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, why is it that when you were little, it wasn't exhausting? I mean, granted, we weren't doing all the work.
We had to do the work.
Your parents did all that. You weren't doing it.
It was like this, you wake up and it's all magical. Whenever you wake up, you're like, oh my God.
But see, that's
part of the guilt.
That's part of the guilt. Is your parents are expected to provide that experience to their children. And that's part of the guilt. And as a child, you consumed that. And then as you get older, you remember, oh, I remember these fabulous Christmas and this great Halloween party, blah, blah, blah. And now you have to provide that to your kids. And it's this perpetuating cycle of more and more and more and more. And it's never
enough. Oh, I can't.
Well, I don't have kids, but it was like, I want that feeling that I used to have when I was little of, you said it, that magical feeling where you wake up in the morning and it was like, oh, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's become just another day. I mean, we were talking the other day. Okay, so Christmas is on a Sunday, and typically the stores close on a Monday, and all of a sudden now we're open.
Yeah.
So we're not even celebrating that day after Christmas.
Can you imagine that poor mother who got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to finish wrapping the Santa Claus gifts, get those all under the tree, try to catch half an hour to an hour of sleep before mm-hmm. the kids wake up at the crack of dawn. And then her whole day was all about all the kids and the presents and the cooking food. And the dinner. And is there a ball game on Christmas? I don't know. But all that ridiculousness. And then she has to get up early the next morning to do the doorbuster 5 a.m. sale at whatever store yep. she works at. Oh, my God. Just like, shoot me now. I can't
there's
imagine.
Just, it, you know, and it... There used to be a time where people, granted, you can celebrate any holiday that you want, but they literally revered the holiday so that they took the day off, and then they took the day off after that,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And it was acceptable. Now, it's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable, mm-hmm. and it's actually very impractical for a lot of people, especially now with all the inflation and stuff. It's like, mm-hmm. what do you mean? Like, I shouldn't even be off Christmas Day. I should be working the whole time.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. I feel for the people who are. And you know, you always think, okay, go into a 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. There's always someone that's yep. working that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, if you're going into a 7-Eleven, it's because you need to. Like, oh, I forgot to get gas. Or, right. you know, I forgot something.
Yeah.
And then you think to yourself, wow, that poor person, they're working by themselves. Don't they have any place to be? And at least I think
of course
that.
They do, but they have to be at their job.
Yeah, but they have to be at their job. Yeah. Whereas it used to be, the whole world closed down.
Yep.
We all mm-hmm. stopped. We took a moment of mm-hmm. sanity and mm-hmm. peace, mm-hmm. and we stopped.
Well, it absolutely shocked me, being from the South, that there are even grocery stores open here on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they take the holidays a little more serious in the South. Mm-hmm. Like, you're home with family. They mm-hmm. don't open up stuff. They mm-hmm. have a different level of respect, I feel like, for people and their yeah. being with their families.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know, maybe I just think that I think we've lost sight of the reason why we do things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so much ceremony behind things, but there's nothing behind the ceremony.
Yeah.
And it's become that pre-programming we have, and instead of, okay, step back. What is it you expect from this holiday? What do you want to give to the people around you
cookies.
For this holiday? Cookies.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's
you make
the thing
them with
that
your
I'm
hands.
Struggling with. And
cookies?
It sounds really stupid because I try not to eat a lot of cookies. And I'm a gluten-free person, so making cookies
is hard.
Yeah, it's different. It's difficult. Yeah. But I have this whole recipe book of Christmas cookies. And what we used to do was we used to make, I don't know, 6 or 7 different types of cookies,
mm-hmm.
sometimes even more than that. And we'd make 2 or 3 dozen of each one. And it was this whole thing. All day long, we're making cookies and we're doing
yes.
the icing and coming up with pretty color concoctions for the
we
icing.
We used to do that, too.
And the sprinkles.
Yep.
I mean, it was such a fun thing to do. And I miss the funness of that activity. Mm-hmm. But yet, I'm not going to eat all those cookies.
No.
You know, I actually feel guilty about putting them in a pan and bringing them and giving them around as gifts because that's not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're already having mm-hmm. so many unhealthy snacks around the holiday.
I agree.
So there's this guilt about giving people something that I'm not going to eat,
right.
you know, but yet there's this weird yearning for, I really want to make cookies.
Well,
I'm just trying to like rectify that within my mind.
You made me think of something. We used to, back when I had family, a lot of them have passed on now, but we used to get together and not only would we do cookies, but we'd do tamales.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as the mm-hmm. family passes away and gets older, you don't have that same group of people.
Right.
Like
right.
you said, we making your cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It used to be my sister, my mom, and
yes.
my brother and I. And my dad would
all
just eat them. But
around the big kitchen
yeah,
table.
Yeah,
yeah.
We
yeah.
all got
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
And now that little group has dissipated. And mm-hmm. also, like my friends, they're struggling to do their thing. So you don't even have time to like say, okay, 3 or 4 friends come over, let's do this, because
right.
coordinating people's schedules like herding cats. It
doesn't
happen.
Oh my God. Well, and then you're taking away time that they need to
right.
do all the other things on their to-do list for the holiday. And instead of having a fun time doing
it's
the
stress.
Cookie thing, everybody's like, oh my God, when are we going to be done with this so I can get home and do the da 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 da
yeah.
da. Yeah. So the whole mystery of it, the whole magicalness of it.
It's being taken away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. I do remember I still have some of our old cookie stencils.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're beat up and they're
yeah.
bent, and
yeah.
you know, the,
oh, yeah.
the reindeer always has one hoof that comes out looking
uh-huh.
weird because
yeah.
it was all bent.
And you got to fix it with the toothpick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But every year we used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, I haven't made cookies anymore because I keep thinking, well, sugar, not so good.
Yeah. Mm.
And then I'm thinking tamales, I'm like, pretty fattening. Mm.
Yeah.
And so I can find all the healthy reasons to not do something. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't take away that thing that I have.
The heart yearning.
Yeah.
The heart yearning mm-hmm. for it.
And that feeling that I had when I was a little kid, like, oh, that's what Christmas mm-hmm. is about.
Yeah.
I miss that. Mm-hmm. I miss that way to plug into the family. And if it's mm-hmm. not family, then it's friends. And there's no time. Mm-hmm. There's no time to do those things anymore. And why? Because we're working 8 to 10 hours a day, and you know,
too much.
And adding commute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just everything is so much more difficult. And I don't know if I'm not planning well enough now, or I'm not thinking ahead.
I don't think it's you. There's not enough hours in the day.
Correct.
For all of this.
And there's been additional expectations added.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But it's maybe, not that.
What do we do? Pick one thing that we liked to do and do
possibly,
it?
Possibly. Just decide. This year I'm going to make cookies.
Yeah.
Next year we're going to do an arts and crafts project and we're going to make new ornaments for the tree. But you don't have to do both of those in the same year.
Yeah.
You know.
Kind of got to pick and choose where your priorities are and what feels mm-hmm. the best.
Because what you're talking about is missing the connection with people.
Absolutely.
You know, it's missing the connection with our friends and family.
Well, I'm not comfortable saying Merry Christmas anymore because people say, oh, you can't say Christmas. So they say you're supposed to say Happy Holidays. And then you kind of feel like you're directed towards all of the political correctness mm-hmm. now. It's like, well, what do you say? What do you don't say? And that changed too because it used to be everyone said, you know, they thought of, as weird as and goofy as it sounds, it was all about Santa Claus, you know, mm-hmm. back then. It wasn't even
But Santa Claus is not a Christian construct.
No.
Santa Claus is a pagan construct.
Right, but people didn't know that.
You say Happy Santa Claus Day. Happy Holidays. And then, you know, if you want to be correct, you could say Blessed Yule.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're celebrating.
Right.
But, you know, to me it's not worth pissing people off.
Yeah.
You know, I just say Happy Holidays.
Because I also, you know, I'm put off whenever somebody tells me Merry Christmas. I'm like, I don't celebrate that. I don't even want to think about that, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I say Happy Holidays. I don't really think twice about it. Mm-hmm. I do think that there is in times past, there used to be a special feeling and vibration mm-hmm. during this time of year. Mm-hmm. I don't see it as much now, but I would like to try to keep that alive.
Yeah.
to some degree.
Well, we were talking about the importance of connecting with people. And that kind of brings us to our next item on the list that we wanted to talk about is relationships during the holidays and boundaries with our relatives. How much of our energy and time do we give? And one of the things that I think happens a lot during family gatherings is the expectation that you have to be polite or that you have to like or that you have to give time to any particular relative. Just because they came here from another state to see you for Christmas dinner or whatever doesn't mean that you want to sit on Uncle George's lap.
Right.
And let him give you a kiss on the cheek or the lips or the forehead. I mean, maybe you think Uncle George is creepy.
Yeah.
You know, but then as a child, sometimes you get forced to sit on Uncle George's lap and you get forced to let him give you a kiss. And, you know, maybe Uncle George is a pervert. Maybe Uncle George is totally fine and nothing's wrong with Uncle George, but you don't like him. But you got to sit on his lap. You know, so all of these boundary issues come up during the holidays between relatives and children and then, you know, family dynamics and how do you protect your sovereignty.
And then having you, maybe, you know, you have kids and your parents or your spouse's parents are around and, you know, that can create a lot of issues too. If there's other people trying to parent and it's...
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Telling your kid they can have that cookie. Well, you already gave your kid a cookie.
Yeah.
And now this is your kid's third cookie.
Right.
And the kid is running around like some kind of crazed monster because it's all jacked up
and
on
you're
sugar.
The one that's going to have to get him to bed and get him wound down.
And God forbid you tell Aunt Mary, no, please don't give him that. You know, next glass of eggnog.
I have to tell you guys.
What the hell?
I did something funny the other day. Now I think about tradition and it makes me laugh because this is all about family. I watched National Lampoon's Christmas movie. I laughed so hard because it is the total microcosm and macrocosm of all of the bad things that can happen in my Christmas family. From the turkey blowing up to the cat getting wrapped in the sewer, blowing up the Santa Claus. I laughed so hard through that movie, and I thought, everyone has a crazy uncle or a pervert, yeah, whatever. And yeah, I'm not making light of those, yeah, things. But if you watch that movie, mm-hmm, there's something about it that kind of puts into perspective how, you know, here's this guy who wants to give his family the ultimate Christmas. And right, then every time he turns around, he's screwing up. Right. Right. The tree burns up. The cat gets electrocuted. The, yeah, crazy aunt makes cat food on her Jell-O mold. I mean,
oh my God.
Oh, ew. My
God.
I laughed about that scene. I laughed so hard to that entire movie. It's probably the lightest moment I have had in weeks thinking about holidays. And I literally stopped everything I was doing to watch that movie and laughed the entire time. And I don't know if I was laughing with them or at them, to be honest with you.
Right.
But by the end of the movie, you know, when they've blown the sewer plant up and you see Santa flying across the sky, I thought, oh my God. Yeah, I think he said something about, and happy holidays to all or something. And I thought, oh my God. So, you know,
it just brings out the absurdity, yeah, of the whole orchestration.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does.
But within that orchestration, you know, that show brings out some of the comedy aspect of, mm-hmm, family relationships.
Yes.
But for many people, those family relationships is not a comedy.
No,
it's, yeah, a very stressful time, yeah, of the year for people.
Well, he was stressed. I mean, yeah, even though they might made light of it, but again, I think that's part of it, is that it is a stressful time, but maybe you have to find the way you cope with it, hopefully not alcohol and drugs, right, and all that other, right, excess food. Maybe laughter is something that you can apply to some of that. And yes, we all have the crazy aunt and uncles, although mine have dissipated to the point where they're not around anymore. But, you know, you just take it in stride and you do the best you can, and your boundaries are, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what we were saying, yeah, about the other things. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. If you're not comfortable with that person, don't have them come over.
Well, and more importantly, respect the boundaries of your children.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I remember every holiday, Thanksgiving and Christmas and sometimes Easter, Aunt Olia and Grandma Ruth would come down from Utah to be with us for the holidays. And we were expected to sit on their laps, give them a big hug, let them kiss us. And I'm telling you, both of these women stank, mm-hmm, and they were sweaty. Like just, I mean, seriously sweaty. And Grandma Ruth would grab me by the face with both of her hands, mm-hmm, and smush her lips all over my forehead. And my face would be covered in her sweat when it was over. And I would get off her lap, and I got spanked because I cried one time. And so I would get off her lap and I would run to the bathroom and have to wash my face and just like be in there in the bathroom crying and being upset because
that's so wild that you got spanked for crying over that. Like you were a child.
Oh my God. Sweat smeared by Grandma Ruth. You know, and I loved Grandma Ruth. I liked her visit. I liked having conversations with her. But I didn't want to have physical contact, yeah, with her. And I had to. It was expected.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that still happens. I think this newer generation is a little more savvy about these things. But even so, I mean, you got to watch for that.
I mean, it's like, and I feel like part of that is when kids get in trouble for things like that,
mm-hmm,
they're being looked at as adults. Mm-hmm. To conform with the adult social expectations, mm-hmm, when it's like they're kids.
And
no kid wants to be forced to do anything.
Right, and you're being told that your own intuition and your own feelings is incorrect.
Right, like, and now they're going to have to navigate life, like going and dealing with those themes.
Right.
So is that really, you know, that's not in the holiday spirit, mm-hmm, I don't feel like.
No. Mm-mm.
Well, times, yeah, have changed, and they're going to change again, and they're going to change more.
Yeah.
And I think that bottom line comes down to, again, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. If the person is icky, don't invite them. I mean, it's hard,
mm-hmm,
but we as individuals need to get stronger about saying no.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, not acceptable, and no, I'm not comfortable. And, you know, again, that stress you have of the perfect Christmas, have everybody, mm-hmm, come over. No, mm-hmm, you just don't.
Right.
And if you have to use the excuse of, you know, we're having a small Christmas of the year, things were more expensive, mm-hmm, so we're keeping it small, do it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a little white lie, maybe it's a lie of omission, or maybe you're just honest and say, again,
right,
we're doing a small Christmas.
I'm tired of you being drunk.
Yeah.
I'm tired of having to call a cab for you. I'm tired of you saying all the stuff that you say when you're drunk. So, no, you're uninvited.
Yeah.
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 Just don't. Just say no. I mean, literally, just say no. And we need to do a better job of that. And we need to do a job of that in a lot of other aspects, too. Say no to all
the craziness. We need to give ourselves permission to say no.
Yeah. And that goes for employers as well. Yes. It doesn't just stop with family.
Yeah.
You know, I really feel for all the people out here who are doing Amazon and those types of things. Oh. I can't even imagine. And the postal workers and things like that. Oh, my God. I would never. I really feel for them. I just feel like those kind of employers, they just take so much from people.
Well, and people expect it. Mm-hmm. So there's an expectation on that employer. If you don't give me what I want, I've got multiple choices of other places I can go. And so the only way that employer was going to deliver on that promise is by working their employees to death.
Yep.
I have a friend who, she lives in another state now, but she got a job working for the Postal Service. And every day she's posting about her escapades with the Postal Service. And I'm just like, oh my God, I just can't even imagine how you're still on your feet. I mean, she's pulling down 16-hour days.
Yep.
She has 3 kids and a husband.
And it's mandatory a lot of times with the Postal Service. Yeah. You can't just say no. You can't just call out. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Well, it's mandatory in a lot of places. I mean, I worked retail for years and our hours were, especially in management, 7:30 to whenever you closed at night, and you always had the late stragglers, so it was kind of a 7:30 to 11:30 sort of thing, and then you had to be right back in that store again, and you're still trying to manage your life and everything else.
Well, and customers,
they're the worst at this time of year.
Yeah, any kind of customer service job, oh my God, bless those people, because that is so hard. You got to deal with everybody's stress, what we were just talking about with last minute stuff, going to the grocery store for Thanksgiving or whatever, or last minute packages at the Postal Service, and you're in the line that's like an hour long, and then you make the poor guy behind the counter wrong. It's not his fault you're stupid and you didn't get your stuff done last week.
Right.
You know,
maybe we all need to take a chill pill and basically go, look, everybody's stressed, so let's not add to it, and let's be extra kind and patient during those times and not flip people off when they're cutting you off, right?
No promises.
It's hard, but it's something we actively have to do.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something we need to do just in everyday life, not just holiday season. Because I'm guilty of getting very frustrated. I'm driving to work this morning, and I left early enough to get here on time because we wanted to do our meeting. Mm-hmm. And I had a little lady in front of me who couldn't decide what lane she needed to be in. She's 80 some odd years old. She's milking the steering wheel, could barely see over it, and I literally could not get past her. So what should have been 3 minutes to go from basically I-25 to Colorado Boulevard, it was taking me 15. And I swear to you, she was going from one lane to the other lane, from one lane to the other thing, because she couldn't decide what lane she needed to be in.
Well, she probably couldn't tell that she was wandering either.
I think that's what part of it was. So,
goodness.
So, I mean, and honestly, I thought, oh my God, you know, I had that moment of, I'm cursing her out in my brain, and throwing my hands in the air, and I must have looked ridiculous, the cars, if there was any getting by me, because I was like, really, come on, and then I passed her, and I went,
it's a little old lady, and she can't help it,
and I mean, I had that momentary rationalization in my head of, you know, that could be you someday,
right, it's like, oh, you bad person,
yes, and I had a guilt, because I was literally throwing all the brash words I could think of at her, and then I went, as I passed her, went, oh my gosh, that was wrong.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, you know what, maybe she saved me from getting into an accident. Maybe, you know, and I had all these other thoughts in my head, and I thought, okay, slow down, you're gonna get there, it's gonna be what it's gonna be. And that's what life is. You got an old lady in your lane. You got a fire truck. You got, you know, you're going to have these things. And I need personally to practice more compassion and patience.
Yeah.
And that is something I think.
It's really hard to have compassion and patience when the whole society is set up for speed. You know.
Well, and instant gratification.
And expectation and instant gratification.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and 24 hours. Everything's open 24 hours.
Yep.
You can get Amazon to deliver to you next day.
There's nothing special anymore. Yeah, every day is Christmas when you have Amazon.
Yeah. It is.
So.
But if you're going to live your life that way.
Well, and don't even get me going with Amazon. It's a monster. Don't feed the monster.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. Well.
And that plays right into what we've been talking about. We're more focused on the commercialism and those aspects and taking rather than actually having that spirit of giving during this time. Mm-hmm. It creates a breakdown in the family structure, and a lot of traditions and different activities are lost over generations because we don't have that connection. It's all about, you know, we're going to focus more on the Amazon person bringing the presents mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. the thought behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do remember something my mom made us do, which you just remind me when you said that. She made us go through our closets at Christmas time, and she used to make us take out the clothes that we hadn't worn, would outgrown, and that was one of the big things we did is we put everything in bags and we gave them to, back then it was the shelters or the mm-hmm. missions, you know, before they were doing ARC and everything else.
Right.
And, you know, I haven't done that in years. I really mm-hmm. probably should go through and take the excess of the things I know I have and don't use and make a point of giving back.
Yeah. Yep. You know? I've been wanting to do that. I've been wanting to take my stuff that I know I'm not going to use and give it to, like, actually, like, straight to a church mm-hmm. or something.
Or a shelter.
I don't want to do the Goodwill or the thrift store mm-hmm. because... like, I wouldn't charge people money for this. Like, right. I'm trying to give it away. I'm trying to donate it. So why should a company make money off of my generosity? Mm-hmm. Like, I just want it to be pure mm-hmm. and free. Let me give this to a church so they can pass mm-hmm. it on to somebody who needs it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can actually do something out of the kindness without being like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to write it off my taxes and all this other stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe that's another thing we all need to consider. Sometimes, you know, giving a gift... is great, but maybe sometimes giving of yourself the excess that we have or the things that we don't use anymore or whatever, that's going to be someone's coat.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be someone's warm sweater.
Yeah.
It's going to be someone's shoes that they don't have, mm-hmm. especially in this homelessness that we have going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And maybe some of those practices, as archaic as they may seem, are more pertinent now than they've ever been.
Right. Well, you know, it's recycling. It's recycling of the item. It's recycling of the energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's prevention of the manufacture of a new thing,
yep.
which uses resources and causes pollution and yada, yada, yada. And then it also has the benefit of your own feeling and thought in the matter.
Yep.
You know, so it does make a difference. It is a better option in some cases.
I think it's kind of funny. It's some of the things I'm thinking here today go back to it's time to redo some of those things I used to do. And stop doing some of the things I feel like I should be doing or have done.
Yeah.
Kind of a nice reflection about what's going on in life.
Well, and you know, why do we even give gifts during this holiday? What does this holiday really have to do with gift giving? Where did that come from?
Well, that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because I read somewhere that it was symbolic of the three wise men giving to the Christ child.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was funny the other day, I couldn't even remember what the three gifts were. I knew it was frankincense and myrrh. And I was like, well, what was the third one?
Gold.
I'm like, oh, well, what does that say? Mm-hmm. You don't even remember. And then I thought, wow, so we're giving those gifts and maybe we should only give three gifts.
But they're not gifts.
No, they weren't. They were
the
for
only
purpose.
One that's gift
was
that
the
you
gold.
Could really say, yeah, is gold.
Mm-hmm.
Because what people don't get, there's that meme that goes around about, oh, well, if the three wise mm-hmm. women were doing this, they would have baked a cake and brought hot towels and blah, 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 whatever. No, they wouldn't have. Because frankincense was used to bless the child upon birth, to seal the child from evil influences. So the mother was blessed, the child was blessed. And the frankincense was used as a wash to wash the child because it's very antiseptic and antimicrobial and it has a high vibration. So there was an actual physical reason for this as a quote-unquote gift.
We talked
and
about
And myrrh,
that.
The same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The myrrh was not for the Christ child. The myrrh was for the mother
right.
to treat her body from
after
having given
birth,
to treat the wounds of anything that happened to her while she was in that birthing process so she wouldn't have an infection. You know, so all of these things were given for specific reasons that had to do with the health and well-being of the child and the mother.
Which is never explained to anyone.
No.
No.
And of course, gold. Well, you know, what new family with a brand new child doesn't need some money? You know,
yeah.
that definitely is a gift. That's definitely a support. But that whole wise men bearing gifts thing is just a convolution of the whole function of it. It's wrong.
We imposed our own cultural perspective on that versus
yeah.
coming out of our own little lens on things and
mm-hmm.
looking deeper like we just did.
Mm-hmm.
What was the actual reason. Mm-hmm. Don't put your own modern view on it. Mm-hmm. Look at it without that bias and see if you can get a little bit closer to the truth.
Well, and Christmas gifts used to be a Christmas stocking.
Yeah.
And what was in the stocking?
An orange.
Fruit.
Nuts.
Nuts. You know, maybe a candy cane or pieces of candy. Mm-hmm. You know, it was food. It was sustenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the gift of sustenance, the gift of health. It wasn't always tied to...
It wasn't presents.
An item.
Right. You know,
a toy.
Well, and it's funny, maybe that's what we're talking about, is what is the meaning of Christmas, Yule, Hanukkah? Mm-hmm. We've kind of taken it away from those original meanings and turned it into a commercial aspect. Yeah. And it's... I challenge everyone to go back and look. I didn't know about the frankincense and myrrh, mm-hmm. and I didn't know that's what they were used for. Mm-hmm. So here's this, you know, myth that's been perpetuated, and I've just now had it explained to me.
Right.
How many other things do we believe that aren't true? Like, what is, you know, the real aspect of some of those things?
Well, it's about the birth of God. Whether you're pagan or you're Christian, it's about the birth of your God. The S-O-N, Son of God, or the S-U-N, the Sun God. So what does any of this hysteria have to do with how you recognize and worship deity?
Yeah.
Your sun god, you know.
Well, we were just talking before we got into this. We kind of blew our own minds because we were talking about the fact that I always thought the solstice is when the daylight and sunset and sunrise actually changed. Day longer.
Oh, you're going to go there, aren't you?
This is a tease. It's a tease. So this is about the sun god.
Okay, y'all, just listen to this whole thing and prepare yourself to have your mind blown.
Okay, and this is a tease because we're just going to put this in your head and then we're going to talk more about this next time because it blew my mind. I mean, literally blew my mind. So we're talking about worshiping the sun god. We're talking about daylight, sunset. So I was informed yesterday on the Weather Channel, thank you very much, that we actually had an extra minute of daylight. And I went, that's not true. That's not true. So we sat here today, the three of us at the table, and looked up the actual facts. It is indeed true. Mm-hmm. And it happened yesterday, which is so bizarre because all these years I've said it was the 21st when the daylight and day and time nighttime changed. Mm-hmm. It's actually changed now.
Because the pole has shifted.
Yeah.
You know, it's an astronomical event. The solstices are an astronomical event, and we have it tied to a date in the calendar. But I never stopped to check and see if that actual astronomical event still lines up with the date we have in the calendar. And it doesn't. So you blew my mind when I looked at that.
Me too.
Like, oh, my God.
Well, but it blew my mind in relation to what we're talking about now is the holidays period. Mm-hmm. We have expectations that everything stays consistent.
Yeah, it definitely does not.
And maybe that's the blessing that we have when you have a meeting of the minds like we have here, where we talk about things that are what the expectations are, what the realities are, what the myths are. Mm-hmm. There is so much wonder and delight in being able to do your research and discover why frankincense and myrrh, why gold, mm-hmm. Why the dreidel for Hanukkah, you know, why Christmas lights, you know, it used to be that those were put in by the pagans originally to make sure there were bells that they were put in there so that they could hear the enemy crossing through any of their
barriers.
It was for safety.
Hang the bells in the trees.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many things that we do now that we don't know why we do them.
Never give it a second thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it would be interesting if everybody took one thing, did some research, and went, oh, wow, now that would make a conversation over the Christmas table.
Well, and this whole thing must be ultimately just confusing and annoying mm-hmm. to Jewish people.
Oh,
yes. I mean, for them, it's not even about God. Mm-mm. You know, for them, it's a whole different meaning. It's about the commemoration of a band of rebel Jews called the Maccabees who reclaimed their temple from the Greek Syrians. Well, okay, that's a great thing to celebrate, but...
Wasn't it the amount of time the oil lasted?
Yes.
Out of the lamp?
Yes, that too. But none of that has anything to do with the Christian holiday.
No.
Right.
But there's a coinciding of the dates.
Right.
You know, so for them, it must be really annoying because all of this other accoutrement around Christmas doesn't look anything like what they're doing.
Right.
So they really have to like draw this line and separate all of these other crazy people over here away from what they're trying to recognize and observe in their religion.
Yep. And I have some friends who are who practice Judaism, and yet because their kids are growing up with so many kids who also don't practice it, they have a Christmas tree, but they'll do it in silver and white, mm-hmm. or blue
yeah.
and white.
Yeah.
And they'll do their Christmas lights are blue and white.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their way of adapting.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
That too. Yeah, because
cool.
you want to take fun in the, yeah. in, you want to participate in the fun.
Especially right. with the kids. You want yeah. it to be like normalized.
Right. Like, I mean, they're going to school degree. And getting all this shoved down.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have to balance it.
I wonder yeah. if the schools teach everything about Hanukkah. I mean, I don't know anymore. I'm not having been in school.
Back
so
whenever
long.
I was in school. I mean, they mentioned it, but I never knew about the Syrian.
No, I never knew any of that until of that. I was an adult. Well, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a Jewish holiday that was different from Christmas. I mean, I was raised Christian, so that's all I knew about.
Right.
No, yeah. I actually went through conversion classes. Didn't finish it, but I was taught all these things. Now I'm starting to remember the brief little bits and pieces in my mind. And I do remember that story thinking, wow, that's kind of magical that the oil lasted that long. Mm-hmm. And just there's so many cool things that we don't know about.
And I think the key is what is the cool thing that is important to you? Mm-hmm. What is the piece of this holiday that brings joy to your life and to your family? What is the piece of it that you want to carry forward as a tradition? And the rest of it, just let that go, because it's just, it's consuming. It's all consuming.
I agree. So in continuance, we were just talking about how Christmas can be a microcosm to everything. And I think we've kind of alluded to some of that in here, how stress and everything else and expectation and all builds in there. But I think the next big thing is, how do you cope?
Yeah.
What do you yeah. do? You know, what's some of the possibilities of things that you could do? What do you think, Melissa?
Well, I mean, there's positive coping mechanisms and there's negative coping mechanisms. And we see a lot of negative coping mechanisms coming out. You know, people lashing out, people drinking, overeating, overspending, alcohol consumption is ridiculous during the holidays, people pleasing, you know, giving up your sovereignty to help the family situation or what you think is helping the family situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, scapegoating.
Yeah.
You can't get something done, so you got to have somebody to blame for that because you've got to look good
right.
during the holidays. The holidays is a huge ego obsession. Everybody's got to look good with the clothing, with the food, with the baking of the cookies, with the decorations. It's all about feeding the ego,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
rather than what it's actually about.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people, they will isolate either by withdrawing from others
yes.
or maybe they go into workaholic mode where
mm-hmm.
they just, all they do is just work, so they don't have to look outside of that and
right.
deal with, you know, maybe they had trauma, somebody that passed away during the holidays, suicide in
mm-hmm.
the family, something like that, that just kind of puts a damper on
mm-hmm.
the whole season. And I think a lot of people forget about that sometimes too when
mm-hmm.
we're wishing people happy holidays.
Yeah.
It's not happy for everybody.
Right. Well, there's a lot of death during the holidays because, you know, in states where it's cold, there's driving accidents
mm-hmm.
because it's cold and there's snow and ice on the ground.
Yeah.
And people are not paying attention because we're in a hurry, we're in a rush, we're focused on doing all these holiday things. So there's actually statistical data that shows that there's a lot more accidents and death happening during this last three
mm-hmm.
months of the year. So for many people, these holidays are not happy at all. They're experiencing the anniversary of a loved one's death. And, you know, you either freak out over that or you isolate.
Yep.
You know, so it's a delicate time, but we don't have that extra 2 inches of compassion left in us to handle somebody else's delicate situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that comes down again to coping, is that
mm-hmm.
you really have to learn how to assess yourself and assess where your trigger points are and
right.
when you've had enough, when you need to withdraw,
mm-hmm.
when you can participate. And again, goes back to that, those famous words, just say no.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, you have to know what you can and can't do with the degree of your, you know, using your own intelligence. You can't be everything to everyone. You can't do everything. You can't give to everyone. So do it within the framework of what makes sense for you and don't feel judged.
Right. Yeah, we had a list of things that we wrote down to talk about in terms of how to recreate the holidays into a season that's nurturing rather than depleting. You want to maybe talk about some of that, Grace?
Sure. I would say that it would be a good move, since we are moving to the end of the year, to do a self-assessment and just kind of check in with yourself, your body, your spirit, just to see how you can improve your experience going into the next year. So we thought it would be best to pick one thing to start that's been troubling you this year, something that you've been going through or struggling with. And the first step is to feel your feelings about it. A lot of people bypass that step altogether because they can't just sit with the feelings. Mm-hmm. Recognize the stress that you are under when you're in this situation or thinking about this feeling, and ask yourself, what is it that you are not comfortable with or what you simply do not want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we don't give ourselves permissions to be uncomfortable with something or to not want to do something, because that guilt comes in, that shame. Mm-hmm. Oh, I should be doing more.
Obligation.
Yes. It's okay to admit that you don't want to do something and simply just not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, like, the world's not going to end just because of that. And ask yourself, why are you involved in this in the first place? Why do you do things that you hate for people who don't respect you and who don't reciprocate what you do? What do you get out of it that is positive? And if there's not anything positive in it for you, why aren't you eliminating this from your life? Why do you keep perpetuating this cycle? You become complicit in your own misery, basically.
And then you perpetuate that to other people around you, mm-hmm. family members and friends and children.
So I think it's important to move from that and allow yourself to engage in dealing with the issue head on. Give yourself permission to make a different choice than you normally would. So most people don't allow themselves to actually deal with issues because we'd rather get caught up in the demands of the moment. And I feel like that can be a coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Like we divert our attention to everything else.
Avoidance.
And nitpick
mm-hmm.
everything in
yeah.
order to avoid that one nagging thing.
Yeah.
And then the stress becomes normalized and perpetuated, like we said, and made to be humorous. Like, you know, we have all these memes about Christmas stress. That's like
Natural
not normal.
Vacation.
Right. That's not normal,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
It is okay to say no. And if people don't respect that, I mean, that's like, is that something you want in your life?
Right.
Well, I think it's about empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
It's empowering yourself and everyone around you. So that if you have friends that come to you and say, hey, I'd love to do it, but I can't. Don't throw the guilt trip on them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just agree and say, you know what, when you have time, mm-hmm. I'm here. I'd love to be able to spend time with you
yeah.
after the holidays when things have calmed down. You're going to do yourself a favor. You're going to have their time mm-hmm. at a point when they can actually give you their time yeah. and their energy. It makes more sense.
And like Grace said, you have to first start with making that self-assessment, being able to set yourself aside, step out of your to-do list, sit there on your chair, and think about what all is going on with you. How are you feeling about this whole situation? What do you feel about this whole holiday? What does it really mean to you? And what stress are you really under, and why? And what can you eliminate? Even if you eliminate one thing, you know, this year, that will be helpful. Next year, do the whole exercise again.
Yep.
What am I going to keep? What feeds my soul? What makes me happy? What am I going to not do this next year? Because it just makes me nuts.
Yep.
Well, and I think you kind of led to our next point, which is asking yourself, what's the real meaning of Christmas or Yule or Hanukkah for you?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
you really do need to know what part of it you're doing that's not in alignment with your basic purpose and your
right.
basic
what are you
reason.
Honoring?
Yeah.
What are you even honoring? You're giving so much time, like 3 months of our lives gets given to these holidays. What does it really mean? Why?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
And you can choose new practices. You can choose to do new things. It doesn't have to always be, well, we always did this because Uncle George did that and
right.
blah, 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 you know. No.
Right.
Maybe it's about designing your own process,
mm-hmm.
doing what feels right for you.
Well, and I have to say this because I'm a big advocate for tradition, you know, so it's a balance, it's a tap dance between what is traditional and what is ridiculous, and we need to not do that anymore. So you want to look at these things in your tradition and say, okay, what part of my family tradition do I really love that reminds me of good times, that reminds me of special people in my life? And maybe you honor those people and that long-term family tradition by keeping that in your Christmas celebration. And then you do the same thing on the opposite side. Okay, what part of this is just, it really doesn't have a meaning. We just do it because we always have done it, but there's really no special meaning for doing this. And you get rid of those things. So it's kind of, for me, it's a delicate balance between what is sacred and important to me to bring and continue family traditions, and what can I just let go and I don't have to suffer with that anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Melissa gave us a homework activity.
I'm sorry. I like homework.
We love it.
I like to make them do homework. So the homework is just to consider the questions that we just went through and make a decision about what part of this celebration you're going to keep, what part of it or activity are you no longer going to engage in and why, and stick to your resolve. Make that change or elimination right now and decide what part of this holiday and family traditions is meaningful to you, and continue that tradition. And share with your family, especially younger members of your family, why that's important. Why do we do this? So they understand and it's meaningful for them. So try to balance that out. What am I keeping? What am I getting rid of? And your homework is to get rid of at least one thing in this holiday season that doesn't serve you, doesn't nurture you.
I agree. I totally agree. I think I might pick my one thing, which is, I'm going to laughingly say this because we were just talking about it earlier, I'm not making the cookies.
Yeah.
Everybody, for health reasons, really can't have the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as much as I love doing them, I just can't do it this year.
It's a whole day.
If not more.
Yeah.
I mean, because we used to bake all the cookies, let them sit out so that mm-hmm. they would kind of cool down and dry. Mm-hmm. And the next day we you know,
package them,
or decorated and then packaged.
And then you got to deliver them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I cannot do it this year. I just decided if I want to do something, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to get those ready-made sugar cookies. I will make a dozen of them and they'll go out in for Christmas. And that's about it. That's
Yay,
it.
Yay, Lisa.
Am I gonna
Good.
Not going to do it. What did you choose, Miss Grace?
Well, I don't usually do a whole lot for Christmas anyways, so there wasn't anything that I necessarily wanted to not do. If anything, I want to establish some sort of tradition for myself to carry forward. Specifically, I think I may want to look into, just being of service to others on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And doing like that. I have everything I could need or want, so I would like to give back.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's very good. Well, go through our closets.
Yep.
Go through our closets.
Okay, you're like all emotional.
Right yeah, now. It just made me emotional.
Well, I think the thought of giving in an unselfish sort of way is emotional. It makes me mm-hmm. emotional.
Yeah.
Because I think of all these people that have such, so few things, which we've all three of us experienced firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they don't even have clothes. And I think of how much I have, which is not a whole lot, but mm-hmm. still more than a lot of other people. What the heck? You know what? What am I holding on to it for?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Give it back to someone
yep.
who can appreciate yeah. it. Mm-hmm. I agree. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Very good thing. So we're going to hit our clothes, and then we're going to hit a couple of places we can drop our clothes off to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I did one year work in one of the kitchens and made dinner, which was pretty cool. I can't say I was the best at it. I mean, peeling potatoes for 10 hours wasn't fun, but the look on people's faces when you served dinner was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was
totally
good.
Worth it.
Yeah, yeah that was it was good. And I would recommend someone try that every,
mm-hmm.
just try it once in your life, and it's going to make you look at your scenario in your life in a really different way,
mm-hmm.
completely different way.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Miss Melissa, or not do?
Well, one thing that I'm taking out is the Christmas light hysteria. If you saw how many tubs, and I mean tubs, of Christmas lights that I have. Mm-hmm. I have a very big yard, and I would put lights on every inch of it. Our wow. electric bill triples in December. Triples. Okay, and we have solar on the roof.
Wow.
So December and January is the only month in the year that I actually pay an electric bill, and wow. it's all Christmas lights. And I looked at that giant pile of tubs this year, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And why am I doing it? I have this weird little feeling of guilt because I came home and my neighbor's house was all lit up. And I was like, damn, I don't even have my lights on yet. And he's got more lights on than me. I can't let that happen. And I was all up in my ego about my neighbor having more lights than I have up. And I'm like, that is the stupidest thing ever. You know, not to mention it takes 2 full days. My mm-hmm. husband and I spend an entire weekend stringing the lights across our yard. All the trees, all the shrubs. It's just like, and then the electrical cords, stringing those all over the place to get everything hooked up. And then, oh my God, repairing the lights. I mean, it's just, and I thought, you know, I really love the lights, but I don't have to do that. Yeah. It's a ridiculous waste of time. It's a waste of energy. And when I really got down to the core of it, it was all about my ego. You know, I thought, ooh, okay, well, that's nasty. I need to give that up. You know, so we have a few lights out. We have a few trees decorated.
That's
I am going to put my pigs out. I collect a Christmas pig every year.
Aww.
So I've
got, like 15 light-up Christmas pigs.
How
I
cool.
swear to God. And I put them all over the yard, and they're doing ridiculous things. So, I'm going to do my Christmas pigs because that makes me happy.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I'm probably going to give away those lights.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm eliminating that. And the thing I'm adding is I'm going to actually pick up the telephone,
Yes.
And make a phone call and speak with my voice to another human being on
yes.
the other end of the line and call some of my relatives that I don't see very often.
Yep.
And have conversations with them about how are they doing?
Yep.
How's your life? What's
that's,
going on?
That's cool. I'm looking forward to doing yeah. that as well.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm going to add that as a thing that I do during this season.
Yeah, I always call everyone at Christmas in 3 seconds. Hey, thinking about you. Just want to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Yule, Happy Hanukkah. And that's if I don't get them. Mm-hmm. But I just make a point of doing it anyway because I figure they're all celebrating with family, whatever.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel good to know that,
yes.
you know, I didn't send a text. Mm-hmm. I actually made that call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that I will do that again this year because mm-hmm. I do that, try to do it every year.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
It makes me feel good.
Yeah. And I think I'm doing the phone calls instead of the Christmas cards.
Yep.
I mean, it's been hours and hours doing Christmas cards.
I mean, yeah, you have to go do the photos and then you have to format it.
Well,
and
it's
then
tree
you gotta,
killing.
Yeah. And then you got to print them and ship them
right.
and, you
right.
know, write your little yeah. handwritten notes, which
right.
is great.
Because there's nothing tackier.
I think handwritten notes is a nice gesture.
There's nothing tackier than getting a card that just has somebody's name signed. I'm like, okay, fine, you did your duty.
Right.
That's what it's like.
But at the same time, I mean, it's a lot of money, effort, energy, time.
Exactly.
And when you could just call.
Right.
You know what I look like. You yeah. don't need to see me in an ugly sweater.
Right.
Like.
Oh, ugly Christmas sweater.
Love it.
Oh. We didn't even talk about those. You know, I'm going to have to get mine out and wear it. I've got one that has sparkly reindeers on it that is, I mean, my God, you can see it from 10 miles away.
Maybe our next meeting we'll
we
have
should
to
do it. We'll
wear
ugly
sweaters.
I'm sorry, I refuse. I don't have
what?
I don't have an ugly sweater.
Go to Walmart. They have them for
Walmart.
Cheap.
Walmart? I wouldn't. No, I don't shop at Walmart. And I don't
just order it for pickup. You don't even have to go in.
You're pumping on my ego here. Okay, so we thought we would end this long conversation with doing a little bit of meditative work. And what I would like to do is first do a grounding exercise, because most of us don't get very grounded during this season, and follow that grounding exercise with an energy exercise that will help you to dissipate some of the frenetic, stuck energy that is in your auric field. And then finish that with a little bit of shielding so that you can walk around in the rest of this season with a shield and not allow yourself to be attacked or overwhelmed by some of the crazy energy that's around you. So we're going to start with the grounding. So if you get yourself into a comfortable place, preferably sitting, sometimes lying down as you go to sleep, and you want to make sure your feet are on the floor, and you want to make sure that your phone is turned down so it doesn't ring and bother you during this point in time. And if you can get to a quiet place where there's no TV or no puppy or no child, I know a lot of things. But anyway, get to a place where you can have 10 or 15 minutes to yourself. Feet on the ground. And take a deep breath in and out and in. Out and in and out. Keep breathing steadily in and out. Become aware of the bottom of your feet. Ask for the chakras at the bottom of your feet to open. You may feel a tingling or buzzing feeling there. If you don't, that's fine. Just ask for those feet chakras to open. And now as you breathe out, push your roots down through your feet into the ground. You breathe in. As you exhale, you're pushing your roots down. Maybe there's dirt under your feet. Maybe you're in a building. Just push them down. Your roots will seek through the concrete, through the floor, through the basement, through the walls of a very tall apartment building, all the way down into the earth. Just allow those roots to go where they need to go. They know where they need to go. As you're pushing down with each exhale, the roots are going deeper and wider. Allow yourself to feel the contact with the earth. Exhaling and pushing down. Feel the slow warmth of the earth beneath you. Allow yourself to experience the deep calmness that is the earth below the surface. Allow those roots to seek out through the dirt and layers of rock, maybe even water or sand. Feel the energy of that dirt, that water, that sand. Feel as though your tree anchored through this massive set of roots that you've sent down deep and wide, seeking the energy of the Mother Earth. Now we want to bring that energy of the earth up within us to assist us with this grounding. As you breathe in, you pull up the energy of the earth through those roots towards your feet. Exhale and release. Breathing up, pulling the energy towards your feet. Exhale and release. Feel the strength of the energy of the earth engage with your feet and begin to pull that up towards your knees. Slow, warm, thick energy of the earth. Exhale and release. Breathing in, pulling that energy, supporting and strengthening up your knees towards your thighs. Take a couple of breaths. We're in no hurry. Pulling it up, moving it up towards your thighs. In the next couple of breaths, you'll feel that energy begin to engage with your tailbone and with your root chakra there at the base of your spine. You might feel like a tripod. your feet connected with the earth, and now your tailbone, your root chakra, connected with the earth. Feel the strengthening of that energy as you continue to pull it up into the middle of your being. Breathing in and pulling that energy of the earth, strengthening, stabilizing into your core, your third chakra, right there below the breastbone, above the navel. And maybe put your left hand there and feel that energy of the earth. Gather it there in your core. Don't bring it any further. Just gather that energy of the earth into the core of your being, into your place of courage and power. Feel it there for a moment. Now keep that energy there and focus on the top of your head. And ask for your crown chakra to open. And when you breathe in, pull down into yourself the energy of the universe, the divine energy, the energy of connectedness, the energy of deity, the wisdom, the all-knowing, breathing in and pulling that down into your crown. Allow it to rest there in your third eye, your place of intuition, exhaling and releasing and being calm. Breathing in deeply, pulling that white light of divine universal energy through your throat now, moving towards the heart. And with the next breath, pull that in and allow that to sit there around your heart. Breathe a few more rounds. Gather that energy, the divine, pure energy of love and joy and connectedness there in your heart. Breathe it in and fill your chest with that energy. And put your right hand over your heart. Your left hand is still sitting on your core. And feel the energy of the earth in your left hand. And feel the energy of the divine there in your heart. And with this next breath, take the energy of the divine and bring it down into your core to meet with the energy of the earth. And just allow them to fuse together. The earth meets the sky. The earth mother meets the sky goddess. The feminine energies meet the masculine energies. The energy of the mundane, the earth, the structure, meets the energy of the divine, the gods, the intimate, the ultimate. Allow all of that to come together there in your core. Rest there in your center. Experience strength and great joy. Take a couple more breaths here. Resting in your center, I experience strength and great joy. You can release your hands and just relax and just be for a moment. Now we're going to use this nice open channel that we have through our crown to bring in some white light with the intention of purifying our auric field. So again, connect through your crown chakra at the top of your head and bring the white light of purity down towards your crown and allow it to shower all the way around you. It's easy to visualize just standing under a water shower and the water showers all around your body. Visualize your auric field maybe 3 inches, maybe 8 inches, however big your auric field is at this moment, and allow that white light to diffuse into and around your auric field. Now ask it to purify and dissolve all of the stress and chaos that may be existing in your auric field at this moment. Breathe that white light in. Allow it to trickle down the center of your body through your Shushumna cord channel, that channel which connects to all of your chakras. Breathe that white light in through the center of you and ask it to diffuse out through your body, front and back and sides and top of your head and bottom of your feet. Each breath, you are filling yourself with this white light, a light of purity, instructing it to move through your body, cleansing away the stress and debris and accumulated energies that do not serve you, pushing that out through your aura. At the same time, this umbrella, this shower of white light is enveloping you all around, dissolving all the little pieces of stress. Just continue to breathe in. Dissolving. Each exhale is relaxing. Breathing in, pulling more energy. Bringing it down into the center of your Shushumna. Allowing it to filter through your body. Taking with it debris and stress. And that's all just dissolving into nothingness. Being consumed by the purity and the energy that is the white light, that universal power. Just take a couple more breaths here before we move on to shielding. Breathing in, diffusing out. Breathing in, diffusing out. Breathing in and out. And for your own purposes, you can do this as long as you need to until you feel a sense of lightness, a sense of being more clear. Today we'll move forward from here. Discontinue breathing in the light through the center of your body. Just allow that last bit of white light to diffuse within you. And now focus on your crown. And you may be able to experience your auric field since you've sent all this light through it. But let's imagine that you're going to build a shield 12 inches out around you, and you want your aura to be within that space. The shield should not cut through your aura. The shield is not your aura. Those are two different things. So now, with each breath, visualize and direct the divine light to form a shell around your body, the shape of an egg, 12 inches all around, above your head, to the sides, front and back, and don't forget below your feet, especially your feet. We walk around in energetically polluted environment a lot of the time. Visualize that shield. And for now, let's make it a little bit strong, thick, like a shell, not like metal, but thick. And imagine that if somebody walked up to it and poked it, they wouldn't be able to get their finger through it. Notice what you feel within your body. You can feel the interaction of your energy, your auric field energy, interacting with your body. Now focus again on that shield, that egg that's 12 inches around you, and ask, this is the programming, ask that shield to be permeable. Ask for it to allow in only information and experience that you need. Ask it to keep out stress, other people's emotions, and other energies that you do not need, that don't serve you. You don't ever want to walk around with a solid shield. It's exhausting. And it isolates you. You want your shield permeable. Allow me to experience what I need for my own personal use, for my growth and development. Keep everything else out. Allow it to just fall away at the edges of the shield as I walk around in my day. Breathing in, visualizing that shield as a permeable barrier. Give it a color if you like. Now, you want to program a word or maybe a finger movement, a trigger that allows you to put your shield up quickly. And you'll need to practice this a few times. And for me, it's really simple. I just say in my mind, shields up. And my shield will pop up. And when I'm done feeling like I need that shield up, I just exhale and I say to myself, release, and my shield dissipates. So shields up and release. So for the next little while, try to have some time to practice that exercise, bringing your shield up, build it piece by piece, color by color, layer by layer, until you can feel it and experience it. And then give yourself a programming word, put that shield up, give yourself another programming word or emotion, pull that shield down, and practice that numerous times when you can find a few minutes, so that when you get to that party or that chaotic grocery store or even driving down the road in tight, tight traffic, you can pop that shield up and keep that stress away from you. And when you walk out of that grocery store, release that shield, take in the nice fresh air between the store and when you get back in your car. You want to practice this as a tool. Especially those of you who are energetic or emotional sensitives. You need to know how to use your shield so you can keep other people's emotions and experiences to them and not allow that to affect you. So practice your shield. Get good at using it. It will really save your life, save your sanity during this time of year. So I hope you found that valuable. We grounded, we brought in some energy to clear our auric field, and we worked on developing and programming our shield. You can practice any and all of those things. You can do them all at the same time like we just did, or just practice the grounding when you feel a little bit stressed and chaotic. Just do the aura cleanse, quick and easy little aura cleanse, when you have a particularly stressful or difficult day.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know it was a long one, so if you have to listen in sections, we totally understand. Hope everybody has a good Gemini full moon. Make sure you get lots of rest, drink water, and really protect yourself during these holidays maintain your boundaries. Thank you all for listening. As always, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.